Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Chulin Daf Mem Vav. We are holding on Daf Mem Hey Amud Beis Ad Heichan Chut Hashidra. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the end of the page. At the beginning of the line, today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander and his wife and children, and Lina Nishmas's mother, Golda Basimcha Leah Shalom, the Neshamish Avin Aliyah. It is also sponsored by the Shulman family for the art side of Mr. Joel Shulman, Yoel Tzvi, Ben Aaron Ruvain, Zechron Levracha, the Neshamish Avin Aliyah. And it is also sponsored by the Gross family, the Zechron Nishmas, Chanaleah Bas Moshe Tzvi, Ramoshe Yehuda Ben Rav Nachum, Chayaleah Bas Naftali Hertzka, and Tzvi Menachem Ben Shmayo, the Neshamish Avin Aliyah. We thank all of the sponsors very, very much for the sponsorship. So we're going to continue in Hilchos Treifas over here, the Perikele Treifas, is what it's all about. So first we're going to talk about how far down the Chut HaShidra extends, because a Nifsak Chut HaShidra makes it a Treifas. So where does the Chut HaShidra end? So the Gemara is going to give a klal, and then it's going to have three further questions on exactly, precisely how to define that klal. And then the Gemara is going to talk about a stira when it comes to the liver. Is it only if the liver is entirely removed that it's a treifa, or if it's even if it's lo nishtayer bo kazayis, if less than a kazayis is left, and it's going to turn out not to be a stira but a machlokas. And then we're going to have several questions if you hold that that lo nishtayer menu kazayis. We're going to have several questions about that kazayis, that what exactly is needed in order for it to qualify as a kazayis that remains. Then the Gemara is going to discuss the lungs, and that's going to take the rest of the daf. We're going to assess first holes in the membranes that surround the lungs, the outer membrane, the inner membrane, what exactly would make it a treifa. And then the Gemara is going to, today's daf is going to conclude with several statements of Rava about treifas and lungs. First, we're going to have a simin for the first four statements that Rava makes about treifas and lungs, and then we run out of the simin, but we keep on quoting Rava, so he keeps on saying other things about treifas in lungs. And that brings us into tomorrow's daf. Rava's statements on these topics go into tomorrow's daf. So let's begin. Again, six lines from the end of the page. So it says, Ad Heichon Chut HaShidra, that where does the Chut HaShidra extend to? That if it was, if you were to be mafsik the Chut HaShidra, it would be a treifa. So I'm Rav Dimur Shmuel, Ad Bein HaPrashos, till the point where it starts to branch off, that the spinal column goes down, and then eventually it branches off by the legs, by the thighs, and it's going to branch off in a number of places. So until it starts to branch off, that's the Chut HaShidra. So they want to know, Rav Dimi Bar Yitzchak HaVakabai, Rav Dim Bar Yitzchak wanted to go to Bechazai, and before he wanted to go, before he left, he wanted to clearly identify where this Bein HaPrashos is. So Asal Kameh de Rabbi Yehuda, should be Rav Yehuda. So he went to Rabbi Yehuda to ask, Amalei Lechzi Limar Bein HaPrashos. He said, I would like Bein HaPrashos Heicha. I'd like for you to show me where exactly is this Bein HaPrashos. So Amalei, so Rav Yehuda said to Rav Dim Bar Yitzchak, Zil Aitili. Well, I can't show you unless you bring me an animal. So go get me a gedi, and I'll show you exactly where the Bein HaPrashos is. So Aitilei gedi shmeina. He brought him a good gezunta fat gedi that was already shechted, and he was hoping he'd be able to show him the Bein HaPrashos. He'd be able to identify it for him. So Amalei Rav Yehuda says, look, it's going to take us a while to get through to show you the Bein HaPrashos on this. It's such a fat animal. It's got so much basar that bliya tfei v'lo yadia, that it's so inside of all this basar, covered up by all the, it's going to be impossible to know the exact area of the Bein HaPrashos unless we spend a lot of time dissecting right now. You brought me too fat of an animal. So he went and he brought him another gedi that was a skinnier gedi to be able to see where the Bein HaPrashos is. So Amalei Rav Yehuda said, also not such a great job. The bones, it's such a bony animal, it's such a skinny animal that the bones apply pressure veloyadia, and it's hard to know where the chut is, because it puts pressure on the basar and the moach of the chut that comes from it to the point that it thins it out, that it's hard to be able to identify it, that it's hard to be able to see exactly where it is. Amalei ta agamrach gemari. He says, you know what? Maybe I don't need an animal. I'll just tell you the tradition, and we'll see if you're able to apply the tradition whenever you have to pass in a shayla in Treifas about the Bein HaPrashos. Hachi Amar Shmuel. This is how Shmuel defined the that any time you have nifsak hachut from all the way up at the neck ad achas treifa, until the first of the Bein HaPrashos, it's going to be a Trefa, but Shlish is Kshera. If it's Nifsak HaChut, all the way by the third time that it branches off, the third spot where it branches off, that's for sure Kshera, that's for sure not the Chut HaShidra anymore, that's so far down that it's not going to be a problem. Shnia Eni Yodea, the second of the times that it branches off, that's a little bit iffy. That we do not know whether it's a trefa or it's a ksheira. If you have nifsakachut on that spot where it's shniya, where the second time that it branches off. So now that we have that klal, we have several questions on that klal. By Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua, Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua raised the question with that which he says ad achas trefa. Ad viad bichlal, or dilma ad velo ad bichlal. Does that mean the space between the first branching off and the second branching off, that the extension of the chut hashidra in between one and two is considered to be one? It's ad viad bichlal, and therefore, if it's nifsak over there, it is a trefa, or is it ad velo ad bichlal? That up until the first point where it branches off, but anywhere between one and two is already has the category of the second one, which we don't know about. So it's not definitively make it a trefa. So that's shaila number one. Shaila number two, by Rav Papa, im timtzi lomar ad velo ad bichlal, if you're going to tell me that it's ad velo ad bichlal, that that the chut hashidra between the first branching off and the second branching off is considered like the second, and that's a suffix trefa, and it's not a vadei trefa, P prasha mahu. What about the very spot where it branches off the first time? Is that considered to be like the first Bein HaPrashos? That's a suffix that between the first and the second, which is a suffix trefa, or is that what we mean by the rishon that it's going to be a trefa bivadai? Meaning when we say the whole chut until the first point where it branches off, do we mean at that very point that it branches off is still the whole chut until the first point? Or do we say, no, at the point that it starts to branch off, that's the same as between point one and point two of branching, where it would still be a suffix. So that this suffix is only if you assume that when Shmuel said ad bein aprashos, it's ad velo ad bichlal. Because if he meant ad viad bichlal, and then that would mean that even in between point one and point two of branching, it would be a trefa. So kol shkein, it would be a trefa if it's on the spot itself where it starts to branch off, which is higher up on the spine. Tosas raises the question in Dibra Maskel V'im, in the first of the two Dibra Maskel V'ims, why is it that the Gemara doesn't raise the suffix according to the tzad of ad v'ad bichlal, that in between the first and the second that it will be a trefa? Just ask about the prasha shniya, just ask about the second branching off, meaning if you hold ad v'ad bichlal, that between one and two it's still a vadai trefa. What about at the point where the second branching occurs, whether is that considered part of the Rishona or part of the Shnia? So Tos says, well, Mimanavshach, that wouldn't be a suffix, because if it's not included in Bein HaPrashos, so it's certainly not included in what that which Shmuel said, that Bein HaPrashos, the first Bein HaPrashos is Trefa, and if it is included in Bein HaPrashos, it's certainly included in Bein HaPrashos, in the second Bein HaPrashos. So that is the suffix. Now, says Gemara, another suffix, another Shaila. By Rabbi Yirmiya, im timtzi lomar ad viad bichlal, if you're going to say that ad viad bichlal, and if the chut in between the prasha rishona and the prasha shniya is still a vadai trefa, meaning that's still considered part of the ikar part of the chut hashidra, where if it's nifsak it would make it a trefa, that even in between point A and point B it's still going to be a trefa. Well, prasha atzma mahu, what would be the din if on the branching it becomes split, meaning not on the actual chut itself, but where it actually branches the first time that the prasha, where it branches the first time? Previously we asked about the spot on the chut where it starts to branch off. Now we're asking on the branching itself where it branches off. Is that itself going to be part of the chut hashidra, where if it's nifsak, sak, it's going to be a trefa. So Tashma says, Gemara, I'll bring you a raya, that the Braisa tells us, ha prasha tidon kibasar, that the prasha itself is considered like basar, that gets split where it's nothing. Basar getting cut and getting split doesn't do anything, does not turn the animal into a trefa. My love, prasha rishonu ushnia, doesn't it mean that the first and the second prashos, that even if the chuta shidra in between the first and second would make it a trefa, and in between the second and third would be a suffek, and past the third would for sure be kosher, but on the branchings itself we're saying that it's nothing, that even on the first branching and the second branching it's not a trefa, it's not a vadai trefa, it's not a suffek trefa, it's not an anything. So it says, lo, shlishis, maybe we only mean the shlishis, that if the part that actually branches off on the third spot, that's when it's not going to be a trefa, because even if the chut itself that corresponds to that spot were to be cut, it would not be a trefa. So maybe that's all that we meant, and therefore you do not have a raya to that shaila. Now, once we mention this klal about how far down the spine, if it's nifsa kuchat hashidra, it's going to be a trefa, it seems pretty clear the klal that we've mentioned is about a behema. So the Gemara wants to know, but ofa, what about when it comes to a bird? How far down the chut hashidra is still considered to be the chut hashidra on a bird? So Rabbi Yadi Omar, lemata min ha'akpayim, that if it's nifsak, that underneath the place where the wings are attached to the body, that up until that point, the chut hashidra is really giving strength to the entire body, it's holding up the entire body, and therefore if it's nifsak up until that point, it would for sure die, and it would be and therefore it makes the animal, the bird, a trefa. Whereas from that point on, if the chut hashidra were to break, it wouldn't have such an impact. Reish Lakish Amar, Reish Lakish says, ad bein ha'akpayim, that up until the area between the wings, whereas the place that's neged the wings themselves, would not make it a trefa. So that's the machlokas between Rabbi Yanai and Rava, that Rabbi Yanai says, up until lemata mi bein ha'akpayim, that the area in between the bein ha'akpayim itself would still make it a trefa, whereas Reish Lakish says, ad bein ha'akpayim, that the area of the bein ha'akpayim itself would not make it a trefa up until the area of bein ha'akpayim. So Amru Ula hava ki imna kamei de ben pazi. Ula says, I was standing in front of ben pazi va'aitu l'kamei ofa, and they brought a bird for him to check to see if nifsak chut hashidra, if it was still on the area that halachically qualifies as the chut hashidra and would make it a trefa, or if it's so far down, if it was so low down in the bird's body that it would no longer be considered the chut hashidra, would not make it a trefa. Ubadak ad bein hakpayim, he only checked up until the bein hakpayim, and then v'shalchei de bein nesiyah v'kam v'azal, then he got a message that the bein nesiyah wants him to come, that they summoned him to the bein nesiyah, and he got up and he left, so he didn't check any further, he only checked until bein hakpayim. But when a maisa happens, sometimes it's hard to interpret, what does that mean? Why did he stop at that point? Why did he not check further? V'lo yadana, I do not know why he didn't check. Imishum delot sarich l'mivdak tvei, imishum kvod nesiyah. Is it because he checked enough and he already knows what he knows? He already knows everything he needs to know because he checked ad bein hakpayim, and if once it's not nifsak chut hashidra until that point, so now you know it's not a trefa? Or, no, there's still more checking that needs to be done, but the bein nesiyah called, and if the bein nesiyah called, it was just timing. It was right in the middle of something. You can't control the timing. I just got a shaila this morning. Talmud told me he was drinking his coffee, and his wife took a sip of his coffee, and then she became a nida. So he wants to know, can he drink his coffee? Is that shiurei kos shela? That I said, Mom, in the middle of the coffee? he said, yeah, middle of the coffee. Okay, so sometimes the timing is a little bit funny. So we're not sure why exactly he stopped checking specifically at that point. Okay, so that's as far as the chut hashidra. Now we move on to the discussion of the liver. So the Mishnah had said that nitla hakov. kaved, that if the kaved is removed, and the Mishnah said, v'lo nishtayir him en klum, entirely removed, nothing is left of it, that's one of the trefos. So the Gemara says, well, wait a second, we have a stira. Our Mishnah says, v'lo nishtayir him en klum. However, ha nishtayir him en klum, if something was left of it, kshema, then it would be kosher. Afal gav delo havi kazayis. Sounds like, even though that which is left is less than the kazayis, it's good enough, as long as there's something. But we're going to have a Mishnah on Daf Nun Dalid that's going to tell us that nital hakaved v'nishtayir emena kazayis kshera, that it's only going to be kosher if a full kazayis remains. But a mashu, anything less than the kazayis, is not going to be good enough. The Gemara doesn't say what type of animal we're talking about. Which animal needs a kazayis in order for it to, a kazayis of the liver, in order for it not to be a trefa, and with less than kazayis will be a trefa. So the Rashba writes in Taurus HaBayis that the Gemara is talking about a shor hagadol, a large ox. But he says, ba'ofos mistavra shakalafi godol shalofa kalafi kotno. He says, by ofos, you have to just assess how much of the liver it's going to be, way less than a kazayis, but you have to figure out how much of the liver would need to be remaining in order for it not to be a trefa. Now, the Rashba doesn't address a behemadaka. He says the Gemara is about a shor gadol. By ofos, it's going to be up to your own judgment. So they quote different lashonos and rishonim whether the shir kazayis is by all behemos or only by a shor hagadol. Meaning, does the Rashba mean dafka shor hagadol, or does he mean a big animal as opposed to an oaf, as opposed to a bird, which is a small animal? There is a further machlokas rishonim if the kazayis has to be from the basar of the kaved itself, or it could be you could include the gidim and the symphonos, the different blood vessels and the veins and things like that that are in the liver. Does that count as well? So the Prima Gadim quotes from Poskim that disagree about it. Tosos holds that it's dafka from the basar akaved and not the gidim and symphonos, and the Rashba is willing to include the gidim and symphonos. Okay, but bottom line is we do have this stira. Is it that it's only a trefa if the entire liver is removed, like our Mishnah said, or it's even a trefa when you have less than a kazayis of the liver remaining, like the Mishnah says on Daf Nun Dalet? So it answers the Gemara, not a stira, machlokas. Amar Rav Yosef lo kasha, ha Rabbi Chiya, and ha Rabbi Shimon Berebi, that quite simply that the Mishnah that says that it's tali on a kazayis follows Rabbi Chiya, and our Mishnah that says that it's tali on it being entirely removed, it follows Rabbi Shimon Berebi. Ki ha de Rabbi Chiya zarikla, because we had a maisa that happened that Rabbi Chiya threw the behema out because it didn't have a kazayis of the kaved left, and if it's less than a kazayis, then it's nothing, then it's a trefa. Rabbi Shimon Berebi matbila, Rabbi Shimon Berebi, he enjoyed it. He was dipping it in his dip, and he was eating it because it had some kaved left. V'simnaich, and the way to remember who did what, right? Who was willing to eat it and who wasn't, is that Ashirin Mekamtsin. The Rabbi Shimon Rebbe was a rich person, and nevertheless, he took this kula. He was more stingy with the basar, that he wasn't willing to throw the meat out. We're not suggesting that he did this because he was rich, and that's how he became rich, by keeping track of by taking advantage of every last dollar that he had. No, this was a halachic debate. But just an easy way to remember it is that Ashirim sometimes are less likely to spend their money. Okay, Hahupul Musa, the Dasal Pumbadisa. There was a group of soldiers that had come to Pumbadisa, and they were, I guess, coming and rampaging through the city. So Arku Rabba and Rav Yosef. Rabba and Rav Yosef, they did what you do when dangerous people come to the city. They ran away. So Pagabuhu Rabbi Zeira, on their way out, they ran into Rabbi Zeira. Tosus points out, why wasn't Rabbi Zeira running? So Tosus says, because he was very politically connected, so he didn't have to run. They weren't going to touch Rabbi Zeira. But Rabba and Rabbi Yosef, they had to run. So Amar Luhu Arukai, he said to them, you runners, people who are running away, Kazayis Sha'amru B'makomara. Let me tell you a quick halacha. The Kazayis of the Kaved that if it remains, will prevent the animal from being a trefa, that's only b'makom mara. That's only in the place where the mara is attached to the kaved, and that's where the kazayis needs to be. It can't just be anywhere on the liver. It has to be dafka next to the dafka by the mara. In Chidush Rabbi Kiveger on Shulchan Aruch and Simon Mem Gimel, he's not sure if the entire fireplace that's connected to the Mara is considered b'makom Mara, and a kazayis anywhere corresponding to the Mara would be enough to prevent the animal from being a trefa, or it only means the kazayis that's actually physically attached to the Mara, the makom chiyuso. Chazanish says that for sure it doesn't have to be literally physically attached to the Mara, because the Gemara is going to have a suffix soon about what can you be mitzarif the kazayis from multiple spots. So if it's the if it's the place of mamish attachment, there aren't multiple spots to add up to a kazayis, so it must mean that. Now, these guys are running away. Rabbi and Rav Yosef are running away. They're obviously scared. They're in danger. So you're going to stop them and say, let me tell you a din of trefa of a kaved. Trefa of a kaved is not the most common trefa. We don't even check for it. Right? Why is it something that they needed to know dafka at such a time? So Rav Yonis Naibshitz writes in the place in Simon Mem Aleph, the fact that Makom Mara is that dafka Makom Mara, it's going to be it needs to be intact, is because that's where the whole chiyus of the guf comes from. And even though there's nothing more bitter and gross than the Mara, and the Mara causes all sorts of diseases, but that's the derech of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says that where you find the place where you find the most trouble, that's where you find the chiyus. The place where there's the most friction, that's where a person finds the most chiyus. So you want to run away from the city. He felt that they were running away from the city and they were running away from Torah because of Gezeres HaMelech. So he said to them, you know, that you should know, Kachi Amida, that the place where there's going to be tsar in Limud HaTorah, that's going to, Talmud Bavli happened in Golos, right? It didn't happen, right? The place where there's going to be tsar in Limud HaTorah, that's going to be the place of greatest accomplishment in Limud HaTorah. The Chassam Sofer, very interestingly, says that he was trying to be meramis to them that you shouldn't run away, that you don't really have a heter to run away, that the tzaddikim, the kazayis hamagina, the kazayis that's going to protect the whole animal, and tzaddikim are maginim aliir, that's what the sugi says in Bava Basra when it comes to tzaddikim paying taxes, that the people who protect the whole city have to be b'makom tzar. They need to stay in the place of tzar, because otherwise they're not going to be able to protect. So this was an age-old machlokas. This happened. The Chassam Sofer writes that once the Nedib Yehuda wanted to run away when there was significant danger, and the community didn't let him. They said, "We need you here to protect the city." He said, no, you need me there so that I can daven to protect the city. If I'm here, I'm going to be in tzar. I'm not going to be able to daven properly. So there was a whole debate, and it's a debate that happened again during the Holocaust. Rabbi Gladstein has a beautiful piece in his Sefer on Tisha B'Av and the Bein HaMetzarim about all the times in history, or several times in history, where Gedolei Olam debated this issue. Does the Tzaddik Dafka need to stay in the city, or does the Tzaddik Dafka need to run away from the city? So that might have been the machlokas that's going on over here. Okay, but going back to livers, Rav Ad Bar Ava says that the kazayis that has to remain is b'makom shichaya. It's in a place where the liver is attached to the body of the animal, which is underneath the kidneys. So Amar Rav Papa, comments, so we have two opinions. Is it b'makom shichaya or b'makom mara? Is it by the kidneys or is it by the gallbladder? So Amar Rav Papa, hilkach, be'inan kazayis b'makom mara, be'inan kazayis b'makom shichaya. We require both. And this is Rav Papa being consistent throughout Shas. You have a machlokas. This one says that one says that. And Rav Papa says, let's incorporate both. That was the Vardai. Said over last week that Rav Eliyashiv has in his Ha'aros as to why is it that Rav Papa had 10 sons that were all Talmidei Chachamim, and we refer to all of them in the Siyumim that we make. So someone sent me a thing that it happens 10 times in Shas that Rav Papa does this, that he had such covet for Talmidei Chachamim. This one said that one said that, so we have to incorporate all the opinions of the Talmidei Chachamim. So he does it 10 times in Shas. For each time he has a different son that becomes a great Talmud Chacham, that the school that have children Talmidei Chachamim is to value the words of the Talmidei Chachamim so much, which Rav Papa apparently did. So by Rabbi Yirmiyah raised the following shaila: if the kazayis is mislocate, it's not in one place. You have a little bit here, a little bit there, a little bit. So can it be can all those liver pieces be mitzarif to kazayis? Mahu? What would the din be? Is that called that there is a remnant of a kazayis that's left, or do we assume not? So kiritzua mahu? Or what if it's not like a solid piece of a kazayis, it's like a strip that if you were to roll it up into a ball, it would be the size of a kazayis, but it doesn't look anything like kazayis, it's just a thin strip. By Ravashi, Ravashi raised another shayla, kazayis merudad mahu. What if it's a kazayis that is flattened? Does that count as a kazayis? So as far as these shaylas take, the Gemara says, we're not sure. We don't know if that counts as a kazayis or not. What would be the din if the liver is dangling from its attachment on the diaphragm, by being attached to the diaphragm, a little bit dangling? So what would the din be? Do we assume that since it's still shalem, the animal is kosher, or do we say that this is a trefa? So I'm like, dildul zeh, that dildul that you're talking about, I don't know exactly what it is, meaning it doesn't mean anything to me. It's for sure kosher, meaning who cares that it's medaldel? It's all there. As long as it's all there, it's going to be kosher. Because if you hold that you need a kazayis of the liver to still be in place, well, you have it. And if you hold that it has to be kazayis that's still in the place by the kidneys, so you have that too. So according to both opinions, you have a perfectly good liver, and therefore the animal is a kshera, it is not a trefa. Okay, so now we move on to the membrane around the lungs. Hareya shenikva, if you have a nekev around the lungs, or shechasra, that was considered to be one of the trefos. So it says, Rav Shmuel and Rav Asi, da'amri, they all said that the Mishnah is talking about karma ila'a, the upper membrane. Va'amri la karma tata'a. But others say that no, it's the lower membrane, that if it has a nekev, it's going to be a trefa. So Rav Nachman holds like the second opinion. So Amar Rav Yosef bar Menyumi, Amar Rav Nachman v'simanayich, the way to remember which krum is a hole in which krum is going to make the behema into a trefa, kituna devarda demancha bereya. It's like a red clothing that the lung is inside of. So that's the krum atachton, that's the reddish bag, so to speak, that's holding the lungs. So that's what it means. It means the lower one, the one that's closer to the surface of the flesh of the lungs themselves. So the Gemara says which krum is so the Gemara discusses this further. Which krum has to be punctured in order for it to be a problem of trefus in the lungs? So pshita I inkivi la'a villo inkiv tata'a megan. Certainly, if the upper krum was punctured and the bottom one was intact, it was not punctured at all, so then the bottom one will be able to protect, and therefore it's not a trefa. Kidderabba, this is in line with what Rabba taught, Da'amar Rabba, because Rabba had told us that Hai Reya de Iglid, that if a lung has a scabs over, that the kruma elyon is gone, and it scabs over kahina sumka, like a red red scab, because the kruma tachton is still in place, kshera, then it's going to be kosher. Inkiv tata'a v'lo inkiv ila'a. What if the lower krum was punctured, but not the top krum? Megan alo megan. So that's a shayla. If the lower krum has a hole in it, so you got problems over there, right next to the basar of the lung, adjacent to the basar of the lung, but then the upper krum is still intact, will that be enough to protect the lung and therefore make it that the animal is not a trefa? So pligi be Rav Acha v'Ravina. This is machlokas Rav Acha and Ravina. Chad amar lo megin, v'chad amar megin. Now one of them says it doesn't protect and therefore it's a trefa, and the other one says no, the krum elyon will still protect and therefore it's not a trefa. V'ilchasa megin k'drav Yosef. And we paskin that the krum elyon does have the capacity to protect, like Rav Yosef who said so, and as we're about to see. And therefore, the behemoth does not become a trefa when the krum hareya is punctured if it's only the elyon, nor if it's only the tachton. We said if it's only the elyon, for sure it's still okay, and if it's only the tachton, it was a shaila, but we come to the conclusion that it's still okay. So either of the layers that are still fully intact will be able to protect the lungs, and therefore the behemoth animal will not be a treifa. Where did Rav Yosef say this? What Rav Yosef? Dam Rav Yosef, it's the following discussion. Hai reya da'avsha. If you have a lung that you blow into, you blow air into the lung, the animal's already dead, so it's not blowing its own air into the lung. So you take the lung and you just blow it like a balloon. You blow air into the lung. So and you hear a hissing sound. You hear air coming through the lung. Musvina nala gadfa oruka ogila. The way to test it is you put either a small feather or some saliva or a piece of straw, something very very light. And imivatsvitsa, when you blow through it, if you see that the feather starts shaking, that the feather over that hole starts to shake, it's because there's air that's hitting that feather. So then you know that both of the krumim, that both of the layers of skin around the lung have been punctured. So and it's going through that space. So treifa, then it's going to be a treifa. V'ilo, but if it doesn't move, then kshera. Then you know that it's kosher, because as we said, one or the other layer is good enough. So then, even though there may be a puncture in one of the layers, the other layer is still protecting it. V'lo yadin and hecha avsha. But if you don't know where the sound is coming from, so it's hard to identify that you hear the hissing sound as the air is going through, but it's hard to identify exactly where is that hissing sound coming from. So then, my sinan mitichlita demaya pshuri. You bring a bowl, a large basin of lukewarm water, umusvin la begava, and you put the lungs in this lukewarm water. It's like when you're looking for a hole in your tire, right? I mean, they put the lungs in this bowl of warm water. So first, the Gemara says, wait a second. Why does it have to be mayim poshurim? Why can't it be cold water? Why can't it be hot water? Why does it have to be lukewarm water? So b'chamimi lo, it cannot be hot water, dekavtsi, because that causes the lung to shrivel, and therefore it might close up the hole that's there. B'kariri lo, and you can't use cold water, dimitarshi, because that causes it to harden, and even if the nekev is only in the kruma tachton, since it will harden, it may easily rip the kruma elyon, but it wasn't ripped before, and it's going to cause you problems, so it's not going to be a valid test. So elmusvina bipshori, so you need to use mayim poshrim, you need to use lukewarm water, v'nafchinala, so you put the lung in this pool of water, then you blow into the lung, imevatsvitsa, if you see a bubble developing in the water, satrefa. Then you know it's a trefa, because you know both layers of the lung that surround the lung have been punctured, and that's why the air is able to get through and create a bubble. V'ilo, but if you don't see it bubbling, then kshera. Then you know that it's a kasher. Tata inkiv ilo lo inkiv, because you're hearing the hissing, because you're hearing the air go out of the lung through the inner membrane, which is punctured, but the outer membrane is not punctured, and that's why it's all being contained in the water. You don't see any bubbles. Why is it hissing? Zika de beni beni hu, because the air is going through one layer, so you're hearing the hissing of it going through the first layer to the second layer. So that's as far as the membranes around the lungs. So now we get into the lungs themselves. So we're going to have four statements of Rava that are indicated by the simin ahine sumaka diavish gildi, and then we're going to have more statements of Rava. I don't know why we only have a simin on the first four statements that Rava has, but be that as it may, that's what we have. So gufa. So we had already said that Amar Rava hai reya di igli. If you have a lung that the kruma elyon had a hole in it and started to scab over, kaihina sumka, like a red berry or something, because the kruma tachton is still in place, kshera, then it's good enough, it's still kosher, because since the kruma tachton is still fully intact, it's going to be perfectly kosher. That is statement number one of Rava. Statement number two of Rava, va'ama Rava, reya shehe edima. If let's say the lung had become reddened because it was struck, it was hit by something. Miktsasa kshera kula trefa. If part of it became bruised, then it's kosher. But if it became bruised entirely, then it's going to be a trefa. So Amrli Ravina l'Rava, Ravina said to Rava, miktsasa my taima. Why is it that if it partially became bruised, that you assume that it's going to be kshera dahadrabaria? Because you assume that it can can become healthy again, that it can that it's the type of injury that the animal can sustain and then get better from. Well, kulanami atrabaria, wouldn't the same be true if it sustained the injury on the entire lung? After all, milo tanya, doesn't the Braisa tell us when it comes to the shmona shratzim, where the halacha is if you're chovel ni shmona shratzim on Shabbos, you're chayiv even if no dam came out, because the dam gets caught underneath the skin, you're still going to be chayiv, but by the shmona shratzim, but ushar shkatzim rumasim, when it comes to other creepy crawly things, where the skin is very soft, you're not going to be chayiv ad sheyetzeh mehem dam, until the dam breaks through the outer layer of skin. Having a bruising under the skin is not going to be considered to be something that's a violation of Shabbos. So maybe we should say the same thing by the lungs, that if it reddens a little bit, it's no big deal, because it's the kind of skin that you have around the lung that would redden quite easily, and therefore it would not make it a trefa. V'chitema, and maybe you're going to say, no, it's not like the shar shratzim, it's like the shmona shratzim, that l'shmona shratzim b'damin Allah. We should compare the lung to the shmona shratzim, where the reddening of the skin, the bruising, is considered a chavala. D'tanya, because the Braisa says that in Maseches Shabbos, that if you trap one of the shmona shratzim in the Torah and you're chavul behen, you're chayiv by shratzim that have oros on them, and the definition of a chabura that Tzeinu Chozeres is nitzrar adam, that the dam gathers underneath the skin, afal pi shelo yatza, even though it didn't leave, that since it became reddened on the skin on the outside, became reddened, became bruised, so we know that the inner skin has been ripped, and that dam is ultimately going to break through the skin and is going to come out, so that such a wound does not heal itself. So you want to compare it to that? You want to compare it to the shmona shratzim and say that if there's redness on the lung, it's not the type of wound that will heal itself, and therefore it should be a trefa? Okay, but then then it shouldn't have to be on the whole lung, it should be on any part of the lung. So bottom line is, you want to compare it to the shmona shratzim, fine. You want to compare it to shar shratzim, fine. But you shouldn't make a chilik between part and whole. Either way, it's either a problem or it's not a problem. It's not going to be. It's not going to make a distinction whether it's part or whole. That is the kasha on Rava. V'yama Rava, third statement of Rava. Reya sheyavsha miktsasa. If a lung is partially dried out, trefa v'kama. And what's the shear of dryness? So I'm rapapi mishmei derava kedesha tiparech b'tziporen. That it would crumble with the fingernail. If you scrape it with your fingernail, it would start to crumble to pieces. So says Gemara Keman, whose geder is that of tiparech b'tziporen? That's Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam. That follows the opinion of Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam in a different context. Titania, the Braisa, in a different context, specifically the context of a mum of a Bechor Behema Tahora, that the halacha is that a Bechor Behema Tahora, you're only allowed to shecht and eat the meat if it has a mum on it. So among those mumin that we identify by a Bechor Behema Tahora is Yavsha Azna, that the ear of the Behema dried out. So Ezi Yavesha, how do I define dryness in that context? That if you were to put a pin in it and it wouldn't even bleed. Rabbi Yossi ben HaMeshulam Omer, no, dryness is defined by would it crumble when you run your fingernail, when you scratch it with your fingernail. Ah, so you see, that's what we call dryness, and the same is going to be over here. Says Gemara, why would the same be over here? They're two different halachas. Even if you're going to say like the Rabbanan, that if it's just it doesn't bleed on the ear of a Bechor, that's enough dryness. That's because even if it's only at that level of dryness on an ear, which is exposed to the atmosphere, it's not likely to heal itself. But a lung, which is inside the animal's body, which is not exposed to the atmosphere, so hadrabaria, maybe such a level of dryness can still heal itself. And it's only the dryness of a tziporin, of crumbling by the tziporin, that will not heal itself. Statement number four of Rava. Va'amar Rava, hai reya de kaima gildi gildi. that if there are a lot of places where there are scabs because the lung was peeled, or ukmi, there are like black stains on the lung, chazusa, or other color stains, kshera, it's still going to be kshera, it's not going to have a status of a trefa. So those are the four statements of Rava that were covered by the simin. Now, Amar Amemar, Mishmei de Rava, another din about the lungs in the name of Rava, in makifan bavui, we don't take one blister and another to be able to identify the nature of a blister. Meaning you find a blister with a hole in it on the lung and you don't know if it was there from before the Shechita and it's a trefa, or if it only happened after the Shechita that the hole developed and it's a kshera, you don't bring another blister that it has on it and puncture it and see, oh, does this punctured blister look like the first one? Because if it does look like the first one, then you see that the first one also happened after the Shechita and it's not a trefa. And if it doesn't look like the first one, no, we don't do that, because every blister is different and it will react differently and it will look differently, so you're not going to be able to tell very much from that. And finally, V'yom Rava, a sixth statement of Rava, Tarti Uni, you know what, we'll save the sixth statement for tomorrow, because that gets into sirchus on lungs, which is probably the most common trefa issue, so we'll get to that tomorrow. Have a good day, everybody.